that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Gathering. This is Stephanie.
And this is Heidi. We're back here on the Para-X Network Tuesday night around the metaphysical table.
Yes, yes. In our new studios.
Yes, in the new studio. We have heat in the studio. Oh, so excited.
Yeah. And it's quiet and
hopefully animal free.
Yes. They we'll try to sneak goes. Down here all the time, but you know, we'll just figure that out as it happens.
We will see. So we're here in December. Happy December, everybody. And the countdown is on. I was talking a couple of days ago at the studio. I was talking to a group of people that were there, and I said something about... It's just, this was on Saturday, so it was the first. And so I said, only, you know, 20 days left until, and a couple people are like, I go, 20, do the math, 20. I didn't say 24, I said 20, till the winter solstice.
That's right. So then the days will get longer.
Then the days get longer. And so I'm trying to cheer everybody up, and I had a few people groaning at me. I'm like, just hang in there with me and let me finish my sentence. So, because it's dark. I went out... I was working with a client. We started at 4. We came out at 5.
Isn't it bad?
And, I mean, the room that I was working with him in has no windows. Mm-hmm. And we come out, and it's pitch dark. Oh, my gosh. It's like, oh, yeah, here we are. That's all right. It's good.
It's bad. And I know I said to Casey once, because my daughter and I are sharing my car for now because her car went kaput. So she takes me to the... she takes me to the bus and picks me up. And so she takes me to the bus in the morning and the sun's just coming up. And then she picks me up at night and the sun is just going down.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be nice to get a little bit more daylight. Because you know what? I just feel like I just want to go to bed when I get home because it's dark and cold. I just want to, like last night, I had a lot of things to do. And I sat on the living room floor in between the two puppies and just stared at the TV. That is so not me, you know?
And Karen in the chat room said, I'm hibernating. You know what? That's a good, it's a good time of year to do it. Go and hibernate and work on the interior. The exterior can wait till we have more light, more energy, more sun, whatever. Work interior. Work on yourself. If that's self-care and that means you need to sit on the floor with your dogs instead of doing some kind of house project or whatever, so be it.
Yep.
So that's what this time of year is good for, is working on ourselves, even if it's stuff, you know, that people don't see.
Yeah. And I know, like Karen said, she can't believe the sleep she's getting. I know the feeling. Last weekend, Casey was up north, so it was just me here at the house. And I slept, oh my gosh, I bet I slept 8 hours every night. And then Monday morning came, and I was still tired, though. You know what? I still wanted to sleep more. So, yeah, it's just that time of year. We just need to rest up from all of our crazy activities all year long and, you know, work on our inside selves and figure things out. And like you said, Heidi, figure it out.
Yeah, just take your time with yourself and work on, you know, the inner. That's one of the things that I was talking about with that group, too, is just what can you do internal to work on, you know, while you're kind of hiding in the cave. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it's looking at old thoughts, old ideas, old habits, and allowing yourself to kind of dive in, you know, or just behaviors that you want to take a look at, you know, are they healthy? Are they not healthy? Can they stay? Should they go? You know, and just kind of evaluate. So it's a good time of year to do that. And because it's dark and we're in the cave. At least here in Minnesota. I know the further south you get, it doesn't get as dark for as long.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
but
up here.
Just think if we were in Alaska, it would be even darker sooner, right?
Well, I think they don't have a lot of light.
There's a place in Alaska where 30 days they don't see the sun. I mean, I think it's up on the north coast, but I think it's the same up there. Some island near Norway, too, that it's the same thing. No light at all.
Yeah, I would assume that there's times where there's no light, and then there's times where there's no dark.
In the summertime, it's still bright when it's 3 in the morning.
Yeah, dark, no light.
It's not very good for you, I don't think, but, you know, whatever.
That's what blackout shades are for.
Right.
So you can sleep.
So, Heidi, I heard you've been doing some traveling since our last show.
Yeah, I just took a little time away, a couple of days, nothing major, just a little getaway. It was actually part of an astrology chart that I had done earlier this year that don't ask me what this means. I remember I took a lot of notes and got the audio, and it was a Jupiter transition, mm-hmm. and I went, okay, and she said, these are the dates, and this is what I recommend you do, and so I did, and did a little traveling, a little exploring. And one of the things that I thought, just kind of relaxed, didn't do much. I ate and slept a lot, which is good because just finishing up with the Halloween season, I, you know, get run through the ringer as a lot of paranormal people do.
Oh my God. Yes.
So that it was nice just to have a getaway where you're not in front of I didn't bring my computer. I didn't have any laundry to do or anything, you know, it was just nice. So, mm-hmm. Did a little exploring though, and found an old cemetery that, I mean, let me clarify, old for Minnesota, you know, mm-hmm. 150 plus years, you know, which is not that old, but for Minnesota, it's not bad. And it's, and it had a really interesting energy. And I actually talked to a gal in town who she wasn't really aware of the cemetery, but she realized that her friend knew of the cemetery, and her friend said the same thing about it that I said about it when she asked her about it. Cause I said, I talked to this gal in town. I'm like, hey, have you ever heard of this cemetery? And mm-hmm. she said, no, but let me ask my friend. And she asked her friend, and her friend said the same thing I said about what I felt up in there. It was interesting. So, and then there was, just pictures and whatever. And one of the things I wanted to bring up, before we get started in with our topic is, I did a little debunking.
Mm-hmm. We like to debunk.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, it's one of the things that I think is important as a paranormal investigator mm-hmm. to do. And I think it leans, towards credibility that if you do this, it makes you, I would say more trustworthy. And I'm not saying it to toot my own horn or anything, but I think anybody that does this, you know, it's just important to debunk. So there's this picture I found scrolling through my phone, and I saw this tree that has no trunk.
Mm-hmm.
It is a pine tree or a fir tree or whatever. I don't know what kind of pine tree. It looks like a pine tree.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like it's floating in the air.
Mm-hmm.
No trunk.
Mm-hmm.
Like and I didn't see it until night when I'm scrolling
through
my phone.
Reviewing the pictures.
Mm-hmm. What the heck is that? So I'm trying to find other pictures in there at a different angle. Nothing. Okay. I have to go back tomorrow because there is not a floating tree. I suppose there are floating trees out there. Yeah. I just don't have a picture of one because the picture I took, I'm like, this can't be a floating tree.
Yeah.
If it is, I'm going to take a billion pictures of it and post it everywhere on the internet. So went back the next day and it's not a floating tree. It's not. So all of you at home that were just nervous as all get out that there might be floating trees. There's no floating trees. This is not Avatar world. And
hover tree.
Hover tree is not a hover tree. And so anyway, it was the trunk was growing out of a rock at such an angle that from where I was standing, and you couldn't get around enough because of where the water was, that it looked like it was hovering up kind of in the middle of nowhere, but the trunk was way, way over there behind another tree.
Yeah.
So I'll post it on our Facebook page because I thought it was interesting.
It's very fun.
So I have I made a side by side of it, and I'll go up there now and do that. Mm-hmm. I made a side by side of it so that you can see on the second picture, like I said, I couldn't get around, but the first day I was there, it was snowing to all get out. And so it's cloudy and kind of murky. And on the second day it was clearer. So you can kind of see where the trunk is. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'll post it on our Facebook page because I think it's interesting and I think it's important that as investigators, we're not just running around saying, oh, this is a floating tree. It's legit. It's real. And if it was legit and real, because I went and investigated and found the floating tree or the hover tree, then that would have been cool.
Yeah. But that's what we do as paranormal investigators and as squatchers, right? We always try to debunk everything that we find because, you know, 9 times out of 10, there's a logical explanation for what we're finding or what we're seeing. And, you know, that reminds me, I don't know if you've seen it, but one time I got a picture of a tree hovering in the forest up north, too, when we were squatching. And unfortunately, we didn't go back and really take a look at it, but I know exactly where it is up there. So I think next time I go up there, now I'm going to have to go see if it's still there and just what exactly it is, because I'm sure there's an explanation for that one, too. But weird. Interesting.
It is weird. So that's what I've been up to.
Yeah.
And, of course, I had to come back to work the weekend because I work pretty much every weekend.
Yep.
But it was good. It was a good weekend, you know, because it's kicking off December, last month of the year. I was going to say last week of the month.
Holiday month. There's a holiday for every belief this month.
Yeah, lots of holidays this month. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
And keeps everybody hopping.
Oh, absolutely. Busy time.
Yeah.
You know, they say it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Yes. Well, it is for some people.
I was going to say, I think it's a very stressful time of year. I think it's fun to spend time with family and friends and stuff, but oh my gosh, it's also very stressful, I think, you know, because we're supposed to be happy, happy, happy. And what if you're not happy, happy, happy? And here's my thing is that I think we all need to, and Heidi, you need to attest to this too, but we all need to take time for ourselves.
Yeah.
And kind of regenerate every day and tell ourselves it's okay if we didn't get the house looking perfect or the packages wrapped. Or, you know, I saw something on Facebook one day that had like a Christmas to-do list. And one of the things was, you know, I need to wrap presents. And then that was scratched out and it said, wrap someone in a hug. And then it was, I can't remember. Oh, all of you've seen it.
I've seen it. Yeah. It's cute.
And it's true. I think we should all live by that motto. Let's, instead of wrapping presents, let's wrap somebody in a hug. Instead of, you know, buying food and prepping food, let's donate some food. So it's for someone else. And I mean, it was just, it went on and on and on. And I'm like, yeah. This is what we need to do because then everybody would be happier. You know, I think.
So, it's a good way to think.
Yeah.
I mean, it's again, you know, I've talked to some people about it too, that, there's been clients that have come in, multiple clients actually that have come in that have been caught up in that race of holiday and energy and buying loads of gifts for everybody and whatever. And the energy, you know, comes through sometimes with people that, you know, it's okay to just chill a little bit. It's okay to ease up. It's okay to not do the package, you know,
Look like
500 meter race or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. So I pulled it up. So I just got to read what it says. So it says, okay, the first one was buy presents. And instead now it says be present. And then it says wrap someone in a hug, send peace, donate food, be the light. I love it. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I think that's what we all need to do.
Well, it's something to think about, though, too.
Yeah.
You know, because not everybody is on board with that. Some of the folks that I talked to about that really needed to chill, like it's better in their health and wellness journey if they can ease up a little bit. They did not want to hear it. They wanted nothing to do with it. They want to be full on immersed in the crazy of the season, and that's where they want to sit. I'm like, hey, you know what? There you go. Do it.
Yep. And I was that way for many, many years until it just tired me out. And now I don't do that anymore. You know, I would go crazy. I had list upon list upon list of things that needed to be done by Christmas or whatever. And how ridiculous is that? You know, I'm just saying. Now that I'm older and more wiser, I like this shortened list better, you know. You know, instead of making cookies, make memories. But I always have to make cookies because that's like the funnest thing that I do in the season, I think, is make all those cookies that we only get once a year. Yep. And eat them, of course, and eat the dough because it's wonderful. And, you know, all that. I've never met a cookie dough that I didn't like. And if I don't like the dough, I guess I'm probably not going to like the cookies either.
There you go.
Oh, my gosh.
And making lefse. And I've got to make lefse.
Yes. And we just had a family gathering with my Johnson cousins the day after Thanksgiving. And each of them, they're all Norwegians, you know, and some of them had lefse. Some of them made krumkaka. Oh, my God. It was so delicious.
I love krumkaka.
Right? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It was really fun. It was really fun. And we made sure we had all that Norwegian stuff, too. So, yeah, it was fun. It was good. So maybe I'll try and make some of that for Christmas Eve, too. And there's something that they make in Norway, and it's made out of whipping cream and butter. And it's like a pudding kind of thing, and you're supposed to serve it on Christmas Eve. It's called, wow, I can't think of the name. If anybody out in the chat room is knowing what I'm talking about, put that name in there. It's all fattening, man. It's just butter and whipping cream, and it's delicious. I think there's probably a little sugar in there. But typically in Norway, they serve it on Christmas Eve, you know. So I think it would be fun to do that and serve it on Christmas Eve. But we don't do we have never done the lutefisk in my family anyway.
We don't do that either. And because mm-hmm. my mom, that side of my family is Norwegian too, and no lutefisk.
No.
But definitely lefse, so I'll make some of that this year.
Yeah.
I usually make that at the holidays.
Yeah, so. That's always fun. Always great. Always fun. So our topic tonight, and you know, this is what we do. Lutefisk can be okay, but it's tricky. Well, but, you know, if you have a lot of butter on it, I guess it's okay.
I say no to that.
You know what? So my grandma actually came from Norway, and I have never, never tried lutefisk. And I remember when my mom was still living one time, I said, Mom, you know, we're supposed to have lutefisk on Christmas. Why don't we do that? And she just looked at me, and she said, Steph, do you really want to eat lutefisk? And I'm like, yeah, no, not really. Not when you say it like that. Forget it. We won't do that.
She's like, let's just understand what you're asking
here. Yes, because she had it, and she's like, no, we're not doing that. And if we do, you get to eat most of it. I think that's what she was saying. Oh, my gosh.
It's all yours.
So we're still talking about that floating tree, and yes, doesn't it? It totally looks like it's a ghost tree or something, just kind of floating over the scene there.
Yeah, it's cool. I put the link on the chat room. If you're not at the chat room, just go to Facebook under The Gathering Radio, facebook.com/TheGatheringRadio. That's us, and the floating tree is there for all to see. Mm-hmm. But on the second picture, when I was able to go back, it wasn't as icky out. Mm-hmm. You can see where the trunk is. That's way over there.
It's a cool picture. Yeah. It's a very cool picture. I love it. So tonight, you know, as we always do when holidays are coming, we always like to talk paranormal things, supernatural things, anything to do with the holiday. And so we have found some things that we're going to chat about a little bit tonight. Some fun things. None of them are really scary or ugly or gross or whatever, but there are things that we, you know, I don't think a lot of people really think about, or if they do, it's just kind of a fleeting thought, right?
Yep.
So, you know, we're going to talk about, for example, let's just start with number one, which is, of course, Santa, right? So who is Santa Claus? You know, well, you know, he's the immortal. I'm going to read this because I found a couple of different things. And I'm going to read about the Norse god of Odin, too, because he's part of the package. So Santa is the immortal elfin being. Yes, that has the power to manipulate time and space and leads a cadre of other elf minions who watch over children and visit them while they sleep. And an amalgam of the 4th century Greek Christian St. Nicholas of Myra and the Norse god Odin, Santa is the jolly home invader who slips down the chimneys to give gifts to the nice. Santa's existence is supported by the North American Aerospace Defense Command, NORAD, which has tracked his journey on radar since 1955. So let's take a look at this. It's talking about Odin, and I never heard this until this year, and someone else made mention of this to me earlier this year, too, so I had to look it up, and we have to talk about this.
Can I just say, though, that they're calling They said Santa is an elfin being with elfin minions, and he is a jolly home invader.
Yes.
Well, that's
home
funny.
Home invader. I love it. A home invader.
A jolly home invader.
And he expects cookies and milk, too, right? And you know, you're supposed to leave carrots out for the reindeer as well. I mean, I used to do that, too, because, you know, the reindeer need a treat, right?
Well, it depends on what you leave out. When I was a kid, we're sidebarring here for a second.
Okay.
We used to leave out a bowl of Cheerios.
Oh.
Because that's what my parents said that the reindeer like. So that you can leave out a bowl of Cheerios.
They're oats, right? They're oats.
I suppose, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it would, I mean, Cheerios are supposed to be healthy, right?
Yes.
And so we'd leave out milk and cookies and a bowl of Cheerios.
I like that.
Like one of the biggest, like the big salad bowl or the big Tupperware, you know, it was big. Yeah. Yeah. So we had to pour a whole box in there.
Each of the reindeer could have a little mouthful and move on to the next house. Well, you know, it makes sense because I'm sure they love oats, right? Horses love oats. I'm pretty sure that, you know, those reindeer probably do too. I mean, you know, who knows what they feed them. But so we talk about Santa. And so we all know about, you know, the Saint Nicholas. But here's the other side. So I'm just going to read a couple of paragraphs of this, but it's all about Odin. And it says, Santa Claus owes his very existence to the old Norse myths. He's changed a lot over the centuries, but his origins in Scandinavia and Northern Europe cannot be denied. Here's a look at how Santa Claus emerged from the lands of the Vikings, exchanging the Norse god Odin's more terrifying traits for those of a plump, chuckling man of eternally good nature. Odin was chief among the Norse pagan deities. He was spiritual, wise, and capricious. In centuries past, when the midwinter Yule celebration was in full swing, Odin was both a terrifying specter and an anxiously awaited gift bringer, soaring through the skies on his flying eight-legged horse, Sleipnir. Back in the day of the Vikings, Yule was the time around the winter solstice on December 21st. Ghosts and gods went soaring above the rooftops on a wild ride. The dreaded Oskoria. One of Odin's many names was Jolnir, master of Yule. Astrid Sleipnir, he led the flying wild hunt accompanied by his sword maiden Valkyries and other gods and assorted ghosts. The motley gang would fly over the villages and countryside, terrifying anyone who happened to be out and about that night. But Odin would also deliver toys and candies. The children would fill their boots with straw for Sleipnir and set them by the hearth. Odin would slip down the chimneys, much like Santa, and fire holes, leaving his gifts behind. Isn't that awesome? And then it says, centuries passed, the world was changing. About the time paganism was being replaced by Christianity, which happened centuries later in the North, honoring Odin became forbidden. Yule was rescheduled to coincide with the Christian celebrations, and Odin was pushed out of the picture. So, you know, there's just all kinds of stories about Santa, but so he's just actually one of many. It's pretty cool.
I suppose every, you know, culture has their Santa, you know. They're all the same person, guy, but they look different or have maybe some different traditions, but they are, for the most part, an elfin being with the power to manipulate time and space. Or being, regular being.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
Not elfin.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently they're all jolly home invaders.
Oh, yes. Yes. And they all bring cool stuff to kids, right? And it, here's another thing. It says, as for the elves in Santa's North Pole workshop who work all year making Christmas toys, it was Odin who was the lord of Alfheim, home of the elves. And all magical weapons and jewelry of the gods and goddesses were fashioned by highly skilled dwarfs who dwell deep within the earth. I love it. I love it. I love looking
very at dramatic.
Stuff. Yeah. It is. It is. I don't just love the idea of Odin on his eight-legged horse accompanied by all them sword-bearing Valkyries.
I want to see the eight-legged horse.
Me too. Me too. That's, yeah.
That sounds almost as good as an eight reindeer sleigh.
I know. You wonder, don't you wonder if so the eight reindeer replaced that one eight-legged horse?
I'm sure it's harder to find an eight-legged horse.
I'm sure
than eight reindeer.
But I mean, it had to be eight. You know what I mean?
Something about the number.
Yeah.
Exactly. Although technically, if you had Rudolph, isn't there nine?
Well, yeah, Rudolph is involved. Yes, Sleipnir. Interesting, but yeah. I love it. I love it. Sword yielding Valkyries.
And I hope we're not testing anybody on all the names that you've read, because I don't remember any of them.
No.
And I couldn't pronounce any of them anyway.
No,
so.
No. But we all know about the Valkyries. They are the ones that bring the Vikings to Valhalla with Odin once we pass away. I love it.
I just like how you say Odin.
Odin, yes. Yeah, say it with that Norwegian accent, I'm just saying.
Okay. We're moving on. Let's move on. I want to talk about Krampus for a second, and then we're going to take a break. So we'll continue talking about Krampus if we have when we come back.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's that time already?
I know.
Oh, so fun. Oh my gosh. Okay.
But Krampus, now there's a picture. We should put this on Facebook. It's yucky. He's a gnarly looking
guy, isn't he?
So I'll read this one. This is, Krampus is a companion of Santa. The Krampus is a hairy goat-like demon with horns and cloven hooves who pushes the naughty children. Emerging from pre-Christian Germanic folklore, he is a sort of anti-Claus that carries chains, sticks, or whips to beat children with, and he may dish out coal, depending on the culture. But if he's in a bad mood, this guy doesn't look like he's ever in a good mood.
Mm-mm.
So you're already you're out of luck.
Oh, yeah.
It says if he's in a bad mood, which looks like he always is, he'll stuff children in his sack or bathtub and carry them to hell for cooking.
Oh, my God.
Krampus Night is typically celebrated December 5th in Europe, where people celebrate by dressing as the beast and roam the streets drinking schnapps. Well, then.
So the 5th is tomorrow. So, gee, I don't know. Maybe we should dress as the beast and roam the streets of Minneapolis with our...
I would say that's a horrible idea. You're going to get shot.
And schnapps in hand and see what we think about.
But, you know, it's last year I think we were putting the Goatman and Krampus together.
They do look kind of alike, don't
right?
they?
Mm-hmm. And we thought about when we went to the bridge or the trestle, we thought, what if Krampus is here? It's not necessarily the Goatman, or they're one and the same. Like, maybe the Goatman is Krampus and Krampus hangs out at the trestle when he's not kicking kids' butts over Christmas.
When it's Camp Krampus Day or whatever, yep, maybe he's over there at the bridge trying to murder people on the, you know, by getting him to climb the trestle and then they fall to their deaths.
I mean, because obviously he's a bad dude. So if he's going to lure people to his deaths 11 months out of the year and then 12, you know, the 12th month he runs amok with kids.
Yeah.
I wonder if people dress up like Krampus so he doesn't know who the real people are. Mm-hmm. You know, because he's all confused, like, okay, you're a Krampus too? Maybe there's a lot of Krampus, you know, there's probably a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're safe if you look like one of the tribe.
This is really an ugly picture. Yeah, oh.
He's wicked looking.
All right, I'm going to save this and put it on the Gathering's Facebook page because I've never seen this one before.
It's disturbing.
It's scary.
And a look like that, he's never in a good mood.
Oh, no,
you're never going to win. Yeah. Bad mood, he'll stuff children in his sack or bathtub and carry them to hell for cooking. That's it. Only option. Although I wouldn't mind seeing a Krampus.
Oh, well.
Just to see, like, what do they really look like?
Yeah. Well, is it one or is it many? I mean, you know.
I think there's a bunch of them.
Do you? Yeah, it kind of sounds that way, doesn't it? So the Krampus, yeah. Kind of plural.
Ghost dance, would they be cramp? What is it, crampi?
Crampi?
Crampy for a bunch of them?
Maybe.
I don't know what a pack of Krampus would be called.
I know, right?
We'd have to come up, we'll have to come up with a name.
Yeah, I think we should make one up.
What's a group of Krampus called? It's, you know, like a flock of crows is a murderer. So, we'll have to come up with something for Krampus.
Yeah.
We'll and, yeah. That's good humor. We'll come up with that and we'll post it with our picture. All right, so I think we're at the half hour, so we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back and keep talking about Christmas folklore and paranormal phenomenon here on the Para-X Network.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere,
Thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Oh, hey Heidi, what are you listening to? Heidi. Oh, hey Steph.
Hey, what has your attention?
Oh, I'm listening to Para-X, the calling radio show. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't. What's it all about?
Well, it's hosted by three guys, Jerry, Alan, and Will, and they talk about paranormal investigations, UFOs, cryptozoology, psychic phenomenon, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, well, it's kind of like The Gathering, but on Wednesday, right?
Yep, you got it.
The Calling radio show every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time only on Para-X.
What happens to a ghost when their home is torn down? No one thinks of the disembodied when they rip down old buildings, dig up cemeteries, and build clean, unhauntable condos. Every year, hundreds of spirits are driven out of their own haunts by the careless living to exist alone with no one to scare. At Para-X Radio, our hosts feel the plight of these evicted disembodied, and we're reaching out to you to please open your heart to one of these lost souls, such as the ghost soldier of the General Wayne Inn or the abandoned spirit cat of Benjamin Rush. So please, please, let a little spooky into your life. Won't you open your house to a ghost without a home?
Para-X.
Welcome back, everybody, here on the Para-X Network to the Gathering Radio Show. And we're talking Christmas or holiday, paranormal phenomenon, and folklore. And we've been talking about Krampus. And we're trying to figure out what a group of Krampus is called.
Yeah.
Or we'll make up.
We don't know.
So,
well, Karin is saying that Krampus means claw. So, I don't know. Isn't that interesting?
We'll figure something out.
Yeah. We posted that ugly picture on the Gathering Facebook page. So go have a look at that. Next up in this discussion is, Santa's reindeer. So as everyone knows, and everybody who's watched Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, boy, it's a pack of guys, right? And the women just stay in
all
the cave.
All boy names, right? Or at least appears to be.
The girls don't even really have names except for Rudolph's girlfriend, and I can't remember what her name was. But Donner's, didn't even have a name, which kind of reminds me of, I don't know if we talked about this on the air last week, but when I was at the cemetery going to my grandma and grandpa's grave, which is this little cemetery on top of a hill in Wisconsin, there's a gravestone there that this poor woman, they didn't even put her name on there. It was wife of Joe Barr or something. So, on Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Donner's wife doesn't have a name either. It's just, Mrs. Donner or something. Well, I'm here to tell you, those reindeer. Okay, so they have male names. There's Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen. And, Prancer and Vixen could be girl names. Donner and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen. No, I said them wrong. There's Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen and Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen. Well, they're girls. And you know how we know that?
They have antlers.
They have antlers. And male reindeer lose their antlers come October. So by Christmas Eve, their heads are bald. And we know in every picture we've seen of Santa and his reindeer, they have full sets of antlers. Female reindeer do not lose their antlers until the springtime after they have sing it, Steph.
That's right. Girl power.
Girl power, honey. And you know what? So those girl reindeers, they don't lose their antlers until after they have babies in March and April. So we know that Santa's reindeer are actually girls. Yep. And so, we hail those reindeer because, honestly, who else would pull, I got to say this, but who else would pull that fat guy around in the sleigh all these years? But we did post the squat on the Squatchers Facebook page, of course, because we're all for empowering women, and Squatchers is all women. So we had to put that little story on the Squatchers Facebook page, and so I did share that to the Gathering page as well. And I mean, it's just, it's a well-known fact. The Alaskan DNR support it. I mean, come on. Here we go. Sing it, stuff. No, I'm not going to sing it. Nobody wants to hear me sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. But just remember that that story is not actually correct. Rudolph probably was a girl, too.
Well, I mean, technically that answer antlers.
Right?
Yeah. So,
but then they show Clarice, his girlfriend, with no antlers. So, okay. It's totally inaccurate. I think we need to do a new Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer show.
I agree. And we'll have to change all their names.
Yeah.
Or keep them. I guess we could keep them.
But, you know, Karin says women do the work and the man gets all the glory. Yep.
Not all the time, but in this case, this is more debunking that we're doing.
Yeah, we like to debunk.
We started the show with a debunk, our post that we put on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
And we're still debunking.
Yes.
Here we go.
Here we go with Santa's reindeer. Yep. You know, empower. We like that whole empowering women. So, girl power. All right. On to the next medium.
So, I want to talk about, let's see here. There's a witch, witch of Italy, the holiday witch of Italy, Befana. And there's a picture of three gals dressed up like her. So I don't know if that's something that they should do, is if it's helpful to dress up like her, maybe. But she delivers gifts to good children on Epiphany Eve, the night before the three wise men were said to arrive at baby Jesus' manger. Hmm. And the stories of Befana vary, but she's an old woman who encountered the wise men and turned down an invitation to join them on their quest because she was too busy sweeping.
Oh, too busy sweeping.
What the heck was she sweeping?
No idea.
I mean, okay. She has a change of heart and tries to find Jesus, but is never able to. Now she travels on a broom, still searching and visiting children in the meanwhile. I suppose she visits the other children because she couldn't find the one she was looking for. Maybe that's what it is.
And, you know, typical woman story about that woman was too busy cleaning to actually go see.
I want to know what the real story is. What was she really doing that they didn't want to talk about?
Yeah.
You know, was she doing some heavy lifting? Was she running the country? Like, what was happening that they can't talk about it?
I agree.
I mean, sweeping?
I was too busy sweeping to go see the newborn king. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's weird.
I think dressing up like her is interesting. I wonder why people do that. If they're just celebrating because it's the eve of Epiphany, so they dress up like her to honor.
I don't know, but this picture of these three women have really ugly nose and their noses, and they have a big cauldron they're stirring there.
Yeah.
So what does she do? Do they bring kids, you know, food or something? I mean, that would be kind of a cool thing if they brought food, you know, to the hungry and that kind of stuff. And
yeah, that's cool. I mean, all it says here is that she brings little gifts, and
gifts to good children. Well, I think it'd be cool if she just, you know, maybe children who are less fortunate. But, yeah.
Yeah, maybe bring little treats or something.
Yeah. I like that. Too busy sweeping. Oh, my.
Sweeping. Give me a break.
All right. Well, let's talk about Bumble because, you know, we're Squatchers and we like to go looking for Sasquatch. And, you know, one of the names for Bigfoot is the Yeti, which... You know, some people say they're white, but in most things that I've read, they're not white, but they're just Sasquatch that live to the north. And Bumble is from the story Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And it says that the flying reindeer have socialized with a fellow cryptid. I guess I didn't realize the reindeer were considered a cryptids.
Well, the flying reindeer.
The flying reindeer.
Probably. The flying female reindeer.
They're a little magical, and we don't know what they really are. The female flying reindeer, yes, absolutely, have socialized with fellow cryptid, the Bumble, a Yeti-like creature known as the abominable snow monster of the north. The large white Bumble has the ability to bounce, but as is prone to sinking. And he also is enraged by glowing red noses and all things connected to Christmas. But Legend has it, of course, that if you remove his teeth, he can be domesticated, as in the end of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, where he put the star at the top of the tree.
Well, I think there's better ways to get along with someone than pulling all their teeth out of their head, but that's just me.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, my. That is just crazy. I love it. I love it. Man, when we talk about the flying reindeer, the cryptozoological wonders. One of the cryptozoological wonders possess a bioluminescent red nose. I love it. I love it.
Well, and I wonder if, you know, there's the Yeti, some of them that have been reported that are white.
Mm-hmm. I have heard that.
Aren't there ermine that change color from fall to winter? And other animals, too, do, mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm. Don't they, to blend in?
Yes.
So why would maybe the Sasquatch might not be any different?
Yeah, maybe they change when they're up north and it's a longer season or something.
Yeah, because some of the animals, other animals that we're aware of on the planet do that. They mm-hmm. change color depending on the season, their mm-hmm. fur. So I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, it's crazy. I love it, though. We love all this stuff. This is fun. This is fun.
So let's talk about, I don't even know how to say it. Give me like 2 seconds to try and say this. Kalikantzaros. I don't know if I'm saying it correct, but it's a goblin of Greek legend. These monsters live underground until Christmas Day, of course, when then they can emerge and stir up mischief until January 6th, unless a home is protected. Now, this is how you protect your home from these goblins, these Greek mm-hmm. goblins. You use a basil sprig, a wooden cross, and a bowl of water. And I'm not sure what you do with it, because it doesn't say. Do you just have them out? Do you mix them? I'm not sure. The creature will swarm, wreaking havoc if you don't have these items out or used to protect your home. They're connected to vampire and werewolf lore. They can appear half beast and half human with glowing red eyes. Some men, especially those born at Christmas, can transform into the Kalikantzaroi.
Oh,
that must be plural. Kalikantzaroi.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
So, I think that's interesting because don't we hear of beasts or cryptids or something with red eyes, glowing red eyes? Remember, we've had people tell us about seeing things in the forest with glowing red eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was up north at that cemetery, the cemetery that I was talking about earlier, was I talking about on the show or before the show?
No, you talked about the cemetery.
Yeah, okay, because one of the witness or people that had been to the cemetery said that she saw some creature standing there with glowing red eyes.
Well, do you think it was a Kalikantzaros?
I don't know. Maybe that's kind of like a Yeti, Sasquatch, whatever. You know, you've got all these names for the same kind of thing. Maybe that's the same. So maybe here in Minnesota.
I do believe we've heard stories of Sasquatch down in the southern states, or more south, where they say that he has glowing red eyes sometimes.
Yeah,
I've heard that. And then other Bigfoot researchers say that they have eyes like, you know, like cats and dogs. When the light hits them, they have that shiny, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
It is. But yeah, I wonder if there's it's the same kind of thing where it's not, it's just Sasquatch or whatever. And every group has their name for it.
Mm-hmm.
And this one that I can't pronounce is a version of that.
Yeah.
Because, I just talked to a gal last week about the one up in northern Minnesota which had glowing red eyes like that.
We do hear that occasionally.
Yeah.
Standing
in that cemetery.
They're all talking about those glowing red eyes. Yeah, it's very interesting. Who knows what's out there, really? I mean, you know, that's why we do what we do, because we want to know.
You were going to go.
No, go for it.
Well, because I'm looking at the snowman.
Mm-hmm.
And now I would, you know, most people are probably going to say that snowmen aren't paranormal.
No.
In nature.
No.
But, so they say, you know, in this article here that we're skimming off of, there's the Frosty the Snowman, and they talk about the snowman coming to life, whatever. But here's the deal. Now, this is something that I think can happen because it's just like dolls or anything that has some kind of like features that give it some kind of animate likeness or resemblance. Just like a doll, I think that it can hold energy and animate. Like, we may not see it, but, and maybe it's something working through it. I'm not saying it's going to just get up and walk it around.
Right.
But you never know.
No.
You know, I mean, how many times, and people out there listening, if you've had this happen to you, I'm sure people have, that you, because I'm always looking at, I'm not a fan of statues, period.
Right.
Like, any statue, especially one that's me or bigger, my size or bigger, I'm not a fan.
No.
Like, you're walking around, big statue on the sidewalk, no. I'm crossing the street, walking the other way, not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they move.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, anyone out there listening, you know what I'm talking about. Because you'll see something, and out of the corner of your eye, you swear it moves.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, come on, it's a statue. That did not move. How do you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
You don't know.
You're seeing a human figure or a snowman together or whatever, and it's got the energy of something that could be living. You know, you're creating it after something that's living. Like a snowman kind of has those facial features and stick arms and whatever. And I don't know. I think that there's something to it. So they have in this little list here, snowmen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think there's something to it when it comes to little statues and things that you make that look like some kind of human resemblance.
Mm-hmm. Well, and of course, you know, this is such a good list that we found because, you know, they're so funny in what they say. And, This talks about the one incarnation of the magic snowman, which appeared at the North Pole along with Rudolph in the story, prefers to offer moral guidance and sing about silver and or gold deposits and a holly jolly Christmas. But yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, you know, there's anything's possible, I think. You
totally. Know, I think so. And Kat in the chat room said the weeping angels from Doctor Who. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, they were creepy.
Yes.
And they totally moved.
Yes.
So, yeah, don't take your eyes off of them.
No. And you know, speaking of things out of the corner of your eyes, I'm still seeing, like, all kinds of things out of the corner of my eyes. And it's, you know, well into the holiday season now. Are you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I always do.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, maybe I'm just more sensitive. I don't know. But I'm just telling you. And at work, I don't know if we have a spirit there or whatever, but when I'm around the corner to this one particular spot in the office, I just see the shadow and it just flips. And I'm like, who are you and what do you want? You know?
Have you asked?
No, I should do that, though. I will. Next time I see it, I'm going to say, who are you? What can I do for you? What are you doing here? In the Navitaire offices. Oh, well, and then, yeah, so we just have all kinds of really fun stuff here. And then we talk about the North Pole. You know, where exactly is the North Pole?
Well, they know where the North Pole is. Well, but are you talking about the place?
Yeah,
where a city that Santa lives in?
Yeah. And then, you know, it talks about based on the late 19th century contributions by Thomas Nast and poet and seemingly supported by NORAD Santa Tracker. We believe Klaus lives at a hidden landmass in the icy waters of the terrestrial North Pole in the Arctic Ocean, sort of like Atlantis. But with a toy workshop, the North Pole is also home to the icy giant Hyperboreans of Greek myths. That's a twist. I'm not sure. The exact location of Santa's home isn't known, but a recent pop culture contribution from the movie Elf suggests it is close in proximity to seven levels of a candy cane forest near the sea of swirly twirly gumdrops and apparently not far from the Lincoln Tunnel.
True that.
Oh my goodness.
So I'm looking up the Hyperborean because I didn't know what it was. It's a mythical race of giants who lived beyond the North Wind.
Oh.
And they're people intimately connected with the worship of Apollo at Delphi and of Artemis at Delos. The Hyperboreans were named with reference to Boreas, the North Wind, and their home was placed in a paradise region in the far north beyond the North Wind. Oh.
Well, interesting. I guess I didn't even know what that was.
I didn't either.
So, see, we learn something new every time on the camping.
Apparently, Santa lives under the sea.
Under the sea. Which, you know, if you ever watch any of those the newer Santa movies with, can't think of his name now, but he was the Santa, and then he would come back and he'd get skinny, and then he courted that woman and brought her back as Mrs. Claus. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the Santa Claus.
The Santa Claus.
Yeah.
So that looked like it was underground, too. There was, like, a thing sticking up, remember, and it was like a thermometer or something.
Well, it has to be
hidden. The North Pole was.
Yeah, it has to be hidden, otherwise we would have found it by now.
Well, yeah, it's true. Well, then they talk about Whoville. Where is Whoville? You know, and it talks about the species of roast beast-eating who's discovered by Dr. Seuss, of course. And they, of course, are terrorized by a green cave-dwelling bipedal humanoid that resides on Mount Crumpet. Okay, Crumpet, does that have to do something with crumpets? You know, the grumpets. I'm thinking of something else.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's interesting that it's kind of the sort of similar. The so-called Grinch domesticates dogs and under the right circumstances possesses the physiological ability to grow its heart by three sizes.
I just think that comes from love from who's.
Krampus is what I'm thinking. But Krampus is pretty close, right?
Maybe that, I mean, it could be just something that's all connected.
I know.
To just get sort of giving different names to things.
Yeah. It's interesting. However you look at all these, you know, folklores and urban legends and, you know. So do you want to talk about the time-traveling ghosts and inhuman entities, Heidi?
Well, that's kind of an everyday thing, isn't it? Well, I was reading about that. I'm like, time-traveling ghosts. Well, technically, yeah, they are time travelers because mm-hmm. some of them aren't. Well, because everything is now.
Right.
So, yeah, so they're talking about the time travelers specifically as they're looking at the Charles Dickens A Christmas Carol. Mm-hmm. And so they have the different ghosts that come and move Scrooge from into the past, and then another one comes and moves him through the present, and another one comes and moves him into the future. And they're talking about basically interdimensional beings and angels, mm-hmm. and showing different versions of their lives, either things that did happen or things that could happen, mm-hmm. or different ways that things could be. So, which I think is actually kind of helpful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
So, yeah, I think it's, although it would probably scare the heck out of me too.
Yeah.
I mean, I see them all the time, but if they hauled me out, right? I see it though, and that still happens. My spirit guides would do it, not some random. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go with some random spirit, but my spirit guides would, mm-hmm. they've done that. Mm-hmm. Take me out and show me things and mm-hmm. drop me back off at home and bed. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so this, I'm, like, looking at this going, well, this isn't really,
yeah.
This happens.
Yeah,
it is true. Ghosts and entities conspiring to teach important lessons to people of the earth. Well, that's kind of what our spirit guides do.
That's true. That is true.
So maybe A Christmas Carol is basically a guy who's living his life his way, and his spirit guides are like, hey,
mm-hmm.
let me help you.
Yes.
You don't have to do it differently, but if you want to, here you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe that's like the inside scoop of A Christmas Carol.
Well, you know, Christmas Carol, I mean, people weren't even, you know, the New Age hadn't started yet, and people that did what we do were probably thrown in jail, witches were burned at the stake, you know what I'm saying? So in those times, maybe the spirit guides were thought of as this whatever. Coming at Christmas and showing you things and whatever.
Yeah, I think this was before the spiritualist movement. I don't know if they were still burned at the stake, but anyway, it's around. I mean, they're moving in that time, but I think that idea has come and gone mm-hmm. over the generations. So you mm-hmm. know that it's been accepted and not and back and forth. So mm-hmm. Maybe A Christmas Carol is actually it's the spirit guides, but mm-hmm. they put it into something a little bit more mm-hmm. fiction mm-hmm. to have people think of it as.
I think so.
You know, not so, so far, you know, it's so far-fetched, you don't think about it, but it's actually more common.
Yeah.
Because I think that happens a lot to people.
Yeah.
Personal.
Anyway.
Personal thought around that, anyway.
Yeah. Well, lots of fun around all these stories, and it's always fun to find new angles on Santa. Like I said, I knew nothing about Odin until I was reading about that earlier, so just think you could have Odin and the Valkyries come into your house and leaving some good stuff down the fire hole. They didn't even call it a chimney. It was the fire, because, you know, the Vikings had the the huts, right? They were longhouses with, I suppose, a fire hole where that fire was.
Fire hole, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and you know who might know about Odin?
Kristen.
Totally.
Who's going to be on our show next week.
Yes, she is.
We're still going to talk to her about that.
And we should talk about what we've got coming up the next couple of weeks.
We have some really good shows coming up.
We do, and we've got no time to talk about it. So, yeah, we do have Kristen Barton joining us next week, who's our original one of three.
The original guest.
Yeah, she was one of our original co-hosts for the gathering. And so we're going to have her back, next week.
Yeah.
Talking about the Yule holiday or the Yule season. Mm-hmm. And then the following week, we have Kyle Cadell.
Yes.
I hope I'm saying his name correct. He was with us a couple months ago.
And from the Cryptid Museum, right?
Cryptid Museum down in Kentucky. And he will be talking about different cryptid traditions, different than what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
So we're going to go get his take on it.
Yes.
And talk about a couple of different twists and turns. Mm-hmm. And he had some fun ideas to talk about for the holiday. So, and then just so everybody knows, we have two shows coming up that fall on holidays.
Yeah.
We will not be on.
No.
So we're going to play replays.
So I believe one of them is actually the actual Christmas holiday, correct? So it happens on the 25th.
Yeah, both of the.
And then the other one's New Year's.
New Year's. Yep.
Yeah.
So we'll be running replays those weeks, everybody. So just.
But we'll do fun ones.
They're going to be fun ones.
We'll probably do our Christmas one from last year. And I don't. What did we decide? We'll tell you what they're going to be later.
We'll post it on Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be fun ones to listen to if you're out there. And
yeah. If you just want to tune into the northern voices of the gathering girls on your holiday evening, you just tune in and we'll be here.
That's right, because we have fun. But anyway, yeah, so next week, so Kristen will be here. That will be fun. She hasn't been on since, I don't know, last spring, I think we had her.
Spring, yeah.
It's been a while. So it's always a fun show when she's on. So I'm sure we'll be talking about the solstice and the solstice celebrations and Yule, and, you know, Odin factors into all of that too. So it'll be a fun one because she is so, she just has so much information locked into that little redhead of hers.
She is, you know, incredibly knowledgeable.
Yes. And we love talking to her. So it will be a fun one next week. So what do you got going on this weekend, Heidi?
I am working as well.
Yeah.
This weekend. Hopefully having a little bit of fun time and, you know, prepping for the holidays and nothing strenuous. I'm not doing that. I won't do it. So just trying to, you know, plan for a small gathering and kind of working and relaxing. So how about you?
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna do a little few things around here. You know, I'm working on my basement diligently, so pretty soon it'll be beautiful down here. But the gathering studios is here
it's
now.
Coming along.
It's awesome.
Coming along.
It's quiet down here. Nice. We'll have to get a sign that says the gathering studios.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be awesome. So, yeah, and then, of course, Christmas is coming, so I need to decorate. I need to go buy a tree. I need to do that kind of stuff, too. So we'll decorate for the holidays as well, but it'll be fun.
One of the things, since we have like a minute, I'll just nerd out here for a second. One of the things I do like to do during the holidays, I like to sew.
Do you?
I do. I love to sew anyway. And I always find little projects to sew. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's things to give people or just to make for the house or whatever, mm-hmm. wherever I'm living, you know. And so it's just, it's fun. And it's a good grounding exercise for me, so that, you know, when I'm working with people in the studio and their energies are like, wow, you know, way out there because maybe life is crazy or the stress of the holidays or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I can just go home and sew and just kind of do some grounding energy with, you know, working with fabrics and textiles and putting things together and just kind of letting energy go. And it's really, I like it. So that's what I find myself doing a lot this time of year to recharge and let go of, you know, so that I'm good to go for people when I go back to the studio.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I know I was thinking of taking up the crochet hook again, you know, because it's so easy to just whip out a few things, you know, and that's a good thing to do too. You know, you just boom, 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 and wow, we're out of time.
We are. Okay, we got to get going.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight.
And we'll be back, you know, same time, same place, same channel next week.
Para X Network, that's where we are. And yeah, thank you to everybody who tuned in. Thanks for everybody in the chat room being there. And thanks to Para X.
And Sarge. And everybody in the chat room for all your comments. That was awesome.
Yes.
Have a great night and a great week, everybody. We'll see you back here next week.
Thanks, everybody. Good night.